You're listening to SBS News.
Corinne East's family has owned and operated holiday parks and camping grounds on the south coast of New South Wales for four generations. They run three parks in Batemans Bay, Narooma and Moruya Heads, all of which had to be evacuated at the start of January due to bushfires. Ms. East says it was a very traumatic time.
We did have staff member that lost a house. We had staff members that were up that lived out near Cobargo that but they were fighting for their houses right from that first night, and you know, lost friends in the Cobargo area.
Then on the 3rd of January, Ms. East and her sister made the painful decision to leave their Narooma park with their children and seek shelter, while their husbands stayed behind to protect the property.
We're talking to one of the rural fire brigade, the captain actually down at Narooma, and he just said, look, the kids just don't need to see what's coming. But that was really hard as well, actually deciding we're going to go. So, and then we didn't have fuel, so we're draining lawnmowers and work utes and all sorts of things to try and actually get some petrol, because we'd been, you know, so busy looking after all of the guests and staff that we hadn't really thought about ourselves and our kids.
With nowhere to go, they stopped at a McDonald's in Cooma to make a plan. There, they started chatting to a stranger who organised for a family in Mikalago to welcome all seven of them into their home until they could return to Narooma. Just over a week later, Ms. East was given the go-ahead to reopen her camping grounds, welcoming just two people to one of their parks on the 11th of January.
January wasn't great. The last couple of weeks in February, things had actually started to pick up, and I think that the community really wanted to come down and support the South Coast because they knew that we really had been hit really hard with the fires. And of course, you know, then it was very early March that coronavirus started impacting. So then people sort of ringing up and getting a little bit hesitant. And I mean, we actually had people in tears ringing up to cancel because they were just really absolutely so compassionate about coming and helping us out.
Then on the 26th of March, Ms. East and countless other regional tourism operators were notified that they'd have to close altogether.
We've really literally just started to feel like we could breathe again after the bushfires. And then the COVID-19 hit. So it really, that was a real kick in the guts.
She says while she's feeling positive about visitors returning to her family's parks, she knows it will be a long time before life returns to business as usual.
Holiday parks I think will do well because I think a lot of people really do want to get back out and travelling, but it's never going to be able to replace what we've lost in January, February, March, April. So we just need to obviously, you know, go forward and hope that the public do, you know, keep camping and staying local and, do support us.
Last year, regional New South Wales communities welcomed 27.2 million domestic overnight visitors, with April through June alone seeing 19.5 million visitors pass through the regions. By the end of the year, overnight visitors had spent $14.3 billion in regional communities during their stays. But when Premier Gladys Berejiklian announced a ban on recreational travel to regional New South Wales in March, many businesses saw their revenue slashed to zero. In Port Macquarie, where fires raged for 210 days starting last July, John Cassegrain and his family have been making wine for 35 years. The past year has seen drought, bushfires and the coronavirus restrictions combine to reduce Cassegrain Wine's revenue by 90%.
We're used to drought, we're used to floods, we're used to hail, but to have drought, bushfire, so yeah, two natural disasters in the one year, and then the COVID-19 where the whole world economy is in turmoil, now this is the first.
Despite the drought, he says Cassegrain Wines was on track to enjoy its best November ever. But everything changed when fire reached the property.
It was pretty frightening, I have to say. We spent a lot of time helping our neighbours. We had fire trucks here and water trucks. We hired some water trucks just to water the winery building down. Fortunately, the fire was stopped pretty early on the piece from entering our property. But then, you know, the smoke and everything else, it was so depressing.
Mr. Cassegrain says while the winery only had to close for a few days, visitation to the region and cellar door sales were greatly reduced through December and January as the rest of the state was impacted by fire. Then, when the coronavirus hit in March, the winery was no longer able to offer tastings, pushing cellar door sales even further down. He says his family had already begun feeling the impact of COVID-19 2 months earlier, when it saw many of its scheduled exports to Asia cancelled.
Our number one export market is Japan, and our number one customer in Japan is the Shinkansen, the bullet train. And they've been buying wine off us for over 20 years and have been buying wine every 3 to 4 weeks. Been such a regular thing until this year, until the coronavirus. And, while things are improving in Japan, I think Japan market's going to take a long time to recover from our perspective.
While the past 12 months has seen his property scorched, sales slashed, and some of his grape crops run dry, Mr. Cassegrain says the reopening of regional tourism is something for everyone to celebrate.
It's going to be a fantastic time for many people to discover regional Australia that may not have been to our neck of the woods for quite some years. And I think they might be impressed when they see what we have up here.
And you can keep up to date on the coronavirus in your language at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Amy Hall, SBS News.